And welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM, just like the man said. Today we're going to be talking to Justin Bahunga in London, I believe. And he is a vice president of the FDU-Inkingi, a democratic political force in Rwanda. And the organization in support of Victoire Ingabire, who was a candidate, wished to be a candidate for president, instead did 8 years in prison. And she is released, and we have spoken to her. She's not entirely at liberty, let's put it that way. But there have been some recent developments, and we want to make sure that we don't report them once and forget about it. There's members of this organization have been incarcerated with no, as far as we know, with no trial at all. We will ask Mr. Bahunga about that. And then later in the program, we're going to be speaking to Tony Leah of Local 222 of Unifor, the auto workers, because there is a plant General Motors plant closing in Oshawa and three plants in the United States. This is a big story, and we'll be talking to Mr. Lee about what's going to be done about it. But I believe at the moment we are joined by Justin Bahunga. Are you there, sir?
Yeah, I am, sir.
Well, it's good to be talking to you. We were just telling the listeners that Rwanda is probably the best known story in Africa. People talk about the President Kagame. He seems to get in the news a lot. Usually it's rather unflattering. His reputation for oppression and for disappearance of people and such is fairly well established. But we worry here at the Taylor Report and CIUT that it's sort of a once-off. People mention, but then they don't return to it. Now, your party, FDU Inkingi, has issued a statement. You have members, including high-ranking members of your organization in Rwanda who are in prison, and one of them disappeared, and we reported on that. Can you bring us up to date to their situation?
Thank you so much, Phil. It's always a great pleasure talking to you, and we appreciate your help to bring our plight to the rest of the world, because Rwanda has spent so much money and spent so much money in the public relations that it has suffocated any truth from Rwanda. I can see the sum of the can one. I can remember this point where it was being paid, and the contract was signed by Mushikiwabo. I paid $50,000 per month for 2 years, 2009-2010. And also, there is a firm which is owned by former communications director of Tony Blair. Mm-hmm. Who was paid, I hear, £1 million to brand Rwanda's image. Mm-hmm. After the mapping report came out. Uh-huh. So that's why I thank you for helping us to get the story out, because we don't have that money.
I should probably ask you, has Tony Blair, former Labour Party leader and Prime Minister of Canada, ever said anything about your brothers and sisters who are imprisoned in Rwanda?
Not at all. That's the whole tragedy.
And so he earned his million right there.
And if you remember, when Tony Blair went to the United States, the U.S. Congress, to defend the invasion of Iraq, he said that the values of universal human rights is not a Western concept. They are values everywhere, that people should not need to anyone, that freedom of expression, human rights, is something which is universal, not just for the West. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to Rwanda, we wonder why it doesn't apply. Mm-hmm. Because if you even read the report of the U.S. State Department on this issue, you will find, you will be surprised that they, what they are saying, the 2017, is how in Rwanda there are arbitrary, unlawful killings, torture, harassment, arrest, and abuse of political opponents, human rights advocates, and individuals who are perceived to pose a threat to government control and the social order. And actually, the economy to say that because of restrictions on civil liberties, the one people of Rwanda don't have the ability to change their government through free and fair elections.
Mm-hmm.
And the European Parliament did the same, condemn all the forms of violations. But it's so sad that actually the former Prime Minister, who defended intervention on grounds of human rights, when it comes to Rwanda, becomes the chief advisor or unpaid advisor to President Kagame, and doesn't tell him to stop it.
Yes.
And we will know also that Freedom House report, June 2017, considers Rwanda as no free country, with a score of only 24% on political and civil liberties. So then let's come back to the question about Rwanda, the opposition, and particularly members of our party who are the top leadership, that's by the first vice president, the person who was in charge of political mobilization in Rwanda, in Kigali, about nine of them, including vice president who disappeared, are in prison for the last 1 year. They arrested in September 2017. 1 year later, they are still waiting a trial.
And so there's been no trials at all?
Not at all since September last year. They're still waiting. And the most recent, we were told that all the prisons in Rwanda had measles in all the prisons in Rwanda.
Mm-hmm.
And measles, so that they can't come out to come for the trial, which was supposed to be on the 8th of this month.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, there have been a riot in one of the prisons in Butare, in Huye, where they were saying they have stopped for taking food to the prisoners because they say there's measles. And the prisoners are thinking that's a way of trying to starve them by refusing people to bring them food under the pretext that there are measles.
But I'm sorry, just to be clear, you're talking about some sort of outbreak of measles that
exactly,
they're claiming?
That's what they claimed. Because they were supposed to have come to court on the 8th of this month, but the prison service, they said that they can't let them come out because they said there are measles in the prisons.
Mm-hmm.
And we think it's a pretext, because how does it happen that you have measles on all the prisons over one at the same time?
Yeah.
And you know, measles are normally for young people and the kids, but these are old people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was saying, one of the prisons in Butare, and the Huye prisons, they demonstrated, because they said people no longer, relatives no longer bring them food, because they tell them that they can't bring food because there is measles in the prisons.
Uh-huh.
So, again, and I was saying, one of the nine prisoners was supposed to be brought to court this 8th of not coming.
Mm-hmm. You know, that suggests if this were an honest problem, one would think they would find a third party, say the Red Cross, to make a determination if there is a health hazard, and that way it could be established. But when authorities just say that, it becomes a diversion, right, or a way to camouflage their true intentions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
And, of course, the other point you made is about one of our political leaders, the first vice president, who is said to have disappeared from maximum security prison of Mpanga,
mm-hmm.
something which doesn't look really true because of the circumstances that surround his alleged evasion. And if I can get a brief of that, he was with his other nine colleagues, in the Kigali prison. Then he was picked from them and taken to this Mpanga prison, maximum security prison, and they put in a very separate maisonette, which is normally reserved for political prisoners. Mm-hmm. There were before him Mushahidi Dewo of PDP Imanzi. There was Nitegeka, who was trying to stand election 2003 and was put in jail, mm-hmm. and a former spokesman of FDLR. So a very secure place within a very secure prison. Mm-hmm. And he was there on the 3rd of October, and 5 days later they said he had disappeared, which looked very strange in the sense that someone who was in that small maisonette, who was not allowed to meet anyone, would have known how to get out of this prison.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 days before the alleged evasion, his wife had come to see him, and according to the story of the wife, he was in high spirits because he thought that after the release of the president of FD Nyingi, Victoire Ingabire, that you are probably going to let him out also, like with the rest, especially mm-hmm. that Ingabire had spoken out saying that want to plead with the president, the government, to release them.
Mm-hmm.
So again, one of the things that we can't believe
is
that
this
person would have left.
You're no doubt FDU and Kingi, and I hope our listeners, everyone, are calling for an accounting here. Are there any, I hate to use this term, third parties? Again, I guess I think it was Red Cross. Anybody asking for an explanation how he could be a high-profile political prisoner? His name is Boniface Togirimana. He could be put in this situation and then disappear, and there's no... So is there an investigation? Is there any accounting? Who is following it? Are Amnesty, or Human Rights Watch, anybody watching, trying to understand what happened?
And thank you, Phil. We have written to the AN group on forced disappearances. We have informed Amnesty International. We have informed the Human Rights Watch. But we don't know what's happening behind the scenes. And that's one of the tragedies, Phil, is that it has become so commonplace, disappearances, that anything as so serious becomes so simple. People just go as if things are normal. It's normal business.
Yes.
And that's the tragedy of Rwanda.
Mm-hmm. It's a kind of story, yes, it reveals the frightening reality when people simply shrug and say, well, it's Rwanda. And
absolutely.
You say, he was in prison, he's gone. Well, that's the country.
Exactly. That's one. I don't know what. There's nothing actually surprising about it, as if nothing surprising.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's very sad. And the saddest part of it, Phil, is that what is happening is exactly creating the same, even worse conditions
mm-hmm.
than the condition that led us to the tragedy that we have witnessed in 1994.
Mm-hmm.
Because despite whatever I'm saying, that the history of Rwanda or in Africa is presented as if Africans, that is just savages, mm-hmm. who can erupt any time on the thought of the other person.
Mm-hmm.
They don't see the contextual framework in the sense that some conditions create situations where people can come to kill one another.
Yeah.
And even quite the history of Rwanda is not really the whole thing about the congenital hatred between the Hutu and Tutsi, and that's why I don't talk about them. It is just the issue problem of a political exclusion. It is impunity. It is lack of observance of human rights
mm-hmm.
that make people come out at the end, erupt,
yeah.
and then kill one another.
Yes.
And these, the conditions we see now, are exactly what the situation that have led to different the different political violent changes that happened in Rwanda.
By the way, this is Justin Bahunga, and he is with FDU in Kingi, and you can find FDU in Kingi. Just go online and see what is the story of the organization and what they're proposing. Also, Victoire Ingabire is another. If you write her name, she has a Twitter account. By the way, I noticed that she made a New Year's statement. I was looking at her account today. It's a nice video of her telling through the internet what she believes is best for Rwanda. And speaking of Victoire, I want to ask you about a statement also from FDU in Kingi that she is being written about in the, I guess, Rwandan media as they're trying to link her to armed organizations or people who are violent. You spoke of the conditions, and the fact is that conditions often do give rise to violence, but she's not a violent person. She was not in the country, you correct me if I'm wrong, in 1994.
You're absolutely right,
so
yeah.
What is her philosophy, and what was the substance of your response to the editorials maligning Victoire Ingabire?
Thank you, Phil. The fundamental issue is that she's seen as a threat to the regime because of her popularity, because of her philosophy, because of the vision it stands for. A country, a reconciled country, underpinned by the rule of law, equal opportunity, and observance of human rights, which are non-existent. So to get rid of her or to get out of politics, you have to be accused of anything. Mm-hmm. And of course, the easiest, which has become the big weapon, is to accuse you of denying genocide, genocide ideology, minimize genocide, or being allied to FDLR, because it's like leprosy. Even if you think of FDLR, you are connected with it, then it's like someone with leprosy. Nobody touch it, and nobody can ever come to you. So this linking her to this group is nothing very new. Remember when she was arrested, one of the charges is that she had a group that was allied to her. That 2010. Now it's not working. They found a new one. We call it P5. I don't know what it means. But now they say now she's connected to that. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing very new in that. But unfortunately, what is very sad is that a UN expert report does actually pick up the stories by the government to try to get to say that she's allied to it. One, and then when you call the P5, this came up when she was already in prison, how would it be allied to it? And secondly, when she came, the very first time she said, I'm coming to Rwanda because I want peace, people change. And secondly, in her new message, she said this is against anyone. And that's the very first message she made when she came out of prison. She said, I'm talking to everyone who is thinking of me using force to change the system that we can use stop so that we can talk to the government and bring sense to the government that in the best interest of everyone, that's not to go to another war. And in her message again, actually, one of the key points make is the militarization of the state, which is the president now. That for the last 45 years, the change in Rwanda has been through military force. And therefore, we have to restart a new era where there is mechanisms for peaceful competition for power and democratic transfer of power. And that's her message. So trying to align her to that is not only against her philosophy, but is also not very, 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 very genius. It's not right. It's not right. It's against her philosophy, it's against the philosophy of her party, and it's against her moral values and what she stands for and says every day.
And just lastly, apropos of that point, doesn't this apply to the same thing of understanding, like, she's very clear about her views, and we've had the occasion to speak to her twice, and she's gone over it very clearly. She's a nonviolent person, and she wants to see a democratic system with opposition parties, the whole picture. That saying that, she is very much like probably the majority of Rwandan expatriates who find it dangerous and fearful to live in Rwanda. They live abroad, but they are subject to a kind of scrutiny by governments such as Norway, Sweden, Britain, Belgium. They tend to buy the position of the Rwandan government and sort of view Rwandans per se as semi-criminal, do they not?
Again, the tragedy is that Rwanda, or there have been internal problems, but the external interventions of behavior had exacerbated conditions that I have read there are problems. Mm-hmm. So by supporting systems in place that are repressive, from the time of colonial time, when the colonial powers came and supported exploitative systems, after independence, the issue of East-West Cold War, they didn't care about human rights. But today, when you look at what is happening now, that the international community is helping a system that actually is unsustainable. And again, I quote someone who was saying that it is so unfortunate that now the donors are supporting a system that has become a killer machine. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, again, it is because of the big money spent on lobbying government and organizations, the victims have become aggressors. Mm-hmm. And again, coming back to the government strategy is anyone who is not paying allegiance to the government is an enemy. Mm-hmm. And so they know that having refugees outside is a problem, and especially if those refugees come to be strong enough financially, mm-hmm. educationally, so that they can threaten the government. So they make sure that all those people outside who try to get to visit the government, like myself, anybody, other people, then those will have to be silenced through accusing them of a different thing. As I was saying, it is that planning genocide, minimizing genocide, mm-hmm. Spreading rumors that likely to incite the population against government, because they know they have got a law which is punishable in the penal code. It used to be 451. Now that probably changed, we have changed it. We've got tarnishing the image of the country abroad is also a criminal offense.
Criminal.
So like now, if I think that not, I can be tried by the government of Rwanda for tarnishing the image of the country abroad. Mm-hmm. So all those people who are said to government, they are using big lobbies, which are very powerful in the government, but also government that has all to do with the government of Rwanda through economic, strategic interests, who are led to the government to fight anyone who is fighting that system. Again, coming back to the whole issue about the tragedy, that they are creating conditions that have led to political violence in Rwanda.
Yeah.
You can always say that Rwandans fight themselves, but the external support of the repressive systems have helped create conditions that have led to violent change.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest problem we have to see in all this.
Yeah. Well, Justin, thank you very much for all that information. And we are going to stay on this case. We want to know what has happened to the disappeared vice president of FDU in Kingi and all the other inmates. And we thank you very, very much for the information. We look forward to talking to you again.
And thank you for your radio, for you are helping us. We don't pay anything because for the government has a lot of money to pay.
Yeah.
But at least we have those people who are still having moral values. They don't have to depend on getting money to defend the voiceless. Yeah. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. We talk soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT. That's always a sobering story. Phil Conant is here, by the way. I don't know if we introduced you.
No, I'm a total stranger here.
People noticed you. They were wondering, why doesn't he say something? So we'll be, Phil and I will be talking a little later about a number of matters. We're going to take a break. We have a nice song by Yip Harburg, man who wrote Somewhere Over the Rainbow. This is a song about that might be apropos of our next interview with the UNIFOR member at Oshawa.
Once I built a railroad